Thank you for taking the time to listen to this audio sermon from Apostolic Worship Center. Our prayer is that you'll be encouraged and blessed by the anointed Word of God. If you'd like more information about Apostolic Worship Center and its ministries, visit our website at www.awcnorman.com.
We're reading from the book of Acts, chapter 12, the 12th chapter of the book of Acts. We'll begin at verse number 1, Acts chapter 12, verse number 1. Scripture says, "Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. He killed James the brother of John with the sword, because he saw it pleased the Jews. He proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. When he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison." Now, that's a statement of fact, is it not? "Peter, therefore, was kept in prison." That's just an unvarnished statement of reality. Peter was in prison. But then notice the next phrase, "but prayer was made." Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Praise God. We're going to continue where we have been the last few weeks, dealing with our conversing with God, preaching today from this subject, "but prayer was made." But prayer was made. Would you ask the Lord to help us now across the building? Jesus, we're thankful, Lord, for your presence, God, that is in this building today. I'm asking you in the next little while that you would help us in the delivery of the Word of God, the breaking of the bread of life. Anoint us together, Lord, that your Word might be received by faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you lift your voices with me one more time? Again, across the building, your hand to the Lord. And let's just give God some great praise across this sanctuary. God, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Lord. 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 Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated. God bless you. Scripture is very clear and plain about the unvarnished times that we live in, the environment that is around us. It doesn't sugarcoat in any way that there are incidents and events and there are things that happen in our life. In fact, our text begins in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts, simply saying, "Now about that time." In other words, there was a particular moment that it seemed that these doors of persecution swung wide. There was a particular junction, intersection that took place where that they seemed to feel this pressure and opposition that came against them. About this time would refer to the previous chapter, the 11th chapter, where there had been a great work of the Holy Ghost done, and how in those two previous chapters, chapters 10 and chapter 11, God had opened the door to the Gentiles, and they had been allowed to partake of the grace of God and experience the Holy Ghost that also the Jews had experienced in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. It tells us in that previous chapter how the gospel had just been unleashed and it had spread through regions around about them, and how that the apostles had been commissioned to go forth and declare this gospel. In fact, the 11th chapter of the book of Acts concludes with the operation of spiritual gifts. There was prophecies that had been spoken in the concluding verses of that 11th chapter. The Holy Ghost indeed was in operation. There was indeed a demonstration of God that was taking place. There was an obvious touch of God that was upon His people. And the 12th chapter now begins with "about that time, about the time of this great door being swung open to the Gentiles, about the time that there was a manifestation of spiritual gifts, about that time that the regions around about them was hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, Herod rises up intending to do harm to the church. Let's just pause for a moment to tell you that it is always on the heels of some of your greatest blessings and some of the greatest experiences that you might have with God. It is on the heels of some of the greatest outpourings of God and things that are just absolutely miraculous that oftentimes you find the intrusion of evil and problems and difficulties. And you would like to think that if I was at this moment where it seems that all things are pumping on all cylinders and this thing's working and things are going well, that we shouldn't be having this kind of opposition. But you can just almost write it down that in the times of high favor, in the times of great blessing, in the times of great outpourings, in the moments of great things from God, there's always the intrusion of opposition and problems. Now, that should not intimidate us. That should not by any way cause us to back up and question ourselves or think, well, maybe this really isn't from God, but rather to stand back and say, thank you, opposition. You just put a stamp of approval on what God's already doing. Thank you, problems. You just put a stamp of approval upon what's already happening in my life, because if I have this opposition, it must be because God is doing some good stuff in my life right now. And God is working. Is God working in anybody's life right now? Come on. I think we just need to take a few moments and say, you know what? God is working. Let's just do a little poll here for a little moment. Right here on this left-hand side, can anybody say you recognize God's working in your life? Anybody in the middle section? How about it on the right? Ah, yes. God is working in our life. So the opposition that you may be feeling right now, that difficulty that may be coming, that's rising up, it may not be that something's wrong. It may be that something's right. It may not be that something is out of kilter. It may be that there's some balance going on and the devil's doing everything he possibly can do to inject and infect and cause all manner of problems and mayhem and discouragement. In fact, Scripture says it well in that 12th chapter in the first verse that Herod, he did this to vex. To vex. Now that's an important word. This is the intention of your enemy. He did it to vex, which means to exasperate, to provoke, to irritate. Do you know the devil does things just to get under your skin? He does. He does things just to get under your skin. He does things just to see if he can get you to throw your hands up in irritation and say, I've had it, I'm done. He loves to frustrate faith. He loves to frustrate focused people. He loves to frustrate folks that are just zeroed in on the truth and the gospel and living for God. And if he can irritate, if he can aggravate, if he can frustrate, because if he can get you so exasperated that you throw up your hands to quit in the direction you're going, he's won. If he can get you to somehow or another stop and say, you know what? It was a whole lot better before I started this praying business. It was a whole lot better before I started this fasting stuff. It was a whole lot better before I started this commitment thing. It was a whole lot better before I made these consecrations. And seems like ever since I tried to up my prayer time and up my fasting time and Ever since I made those dedications and commitments and everything, ever since I said, you know what, God, I'm giving it all up. I'm going to focus in. Seems like it all hell has turned loose. And the devil has come out from the right and he's come out from the left. And I'm facing him every which direction. And there's all kinds of problems. I tell you what, I'm just so aggravated. I'm so upset. I'm so beside myself. I think I'll just quit right here where I'm at. And that's exactly what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to quit right where you're at. You know what I think we ought to do? I think we ought to put another log on the fire. I think somebody ought to turn the dial up a little bit. I think somebody said, you know what? If it vexed the devil for me to pray 30 minutes, I think I'll pray 45 minutes. If it vexed the devil for me to fast a day, I think I'll fast 2 days. If it vexed the devil because I made that consecration, I think I'll make another consecration. Come on, somebody turn the tables. We ought to start aggravating hell instead of hell aggravating us. We ought to turn the tide and say, you know what? Instead of me fighting the devil or the devil fighting me, I'm going to come back and fight against him with everything I got. Come on, this isn't time to back away and turn our heads in the corner and find some easy way. It's going to be bumpy for a little while. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's going to be bumpy for a little while. It's just going to be bumpy for a little while. There's going to be some bumps and there's going to be some twists and there's going to be some turns. But I know what God is trying to do and I know what God is trying to work with. So you know what? I'm not giving in to my exasperation and my frustration and my irritation. Instead, I'm going to meet it. If I'm going to throw my hands up in any way, I'm going to throw my hands up in worship. I'm going to throw my head back in praise unto the Lord. If the devil wants me to throw my hands up, I'll throw them up to God and say, the Lord is King of Kings and He's God of Gods and He's Almighty and He's powerful and He sits on the throne. I need somebody right now to throw both hands in the air. Rear your head back and just give the devil some firepower if with your worship unto the Lord. Oh, come on. Come on, somebody just throw it back at him now. Somebody throw it back. I need a mama to throw it back at him right now. Come on, I need a daddy to throw it back at him right now. I need a young man, a young lady just to toss it back. Hallelujah. 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 I'll throw my hands up, devil, but it'll be in worship. It'll be in praise. I'm going to give him everything I got. So he tries to provoke and he tries to aggravate. Please, please, don't underestimate our enemy. He has intentions. 12 and 4 of Acts says that Herod had every intention after Easter to bring Peter forth. He had a well-devised plan. He intended. Be watchful. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion. Seeketh whom? Seeketh whom? He's got intentions. He has intentions. He has a design. Don't you dare think the devil's just kind of random out here. Don't you think that he's just kind of lobbing whatever. He's got every bit of intention. He intends to get some of us just to quit. He gets some of us just to throw in the towel. His intentions is to turn us away from truth and turn us away from faith, to turn us away from love and trust and commitment to God. That is his intention. That is his full purpose. The devil has got intentions for us. He's got a design for us. He wants us to walk away and give up. That's exactly what hell wants us to do. That is his intentions. But I want you to know God's got a few intentions also. And his intentions is I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Come on, God's not just out here just kind of seeing how this thing will all come together. He's not out here just seeing if it'll kind of all fit together. God's got intentions. He's got a design. He's going to have a church. He's going to have a powerful church. He's going to have a church that is full, that's anointed. He's going to have a church that has got the gifts of the Spirit operating in it. A church where the power of God is present. He's got intentions. What we need to do is come back and reiterate the intentions of our God instead of the intentions of hell. Now, I know the devil's got some intentions. I'm not dumb to that, and I'm not blind to that. I understand. He wants me to quit. He wants me to throw in the towel. But I'm going to remind the devil I've got some intentions also. I intended when I started to make it all the way. Hallelujah! I've got some intentions also. I intended to press my way all the way through. When I started, I didn't start to quit. I started to push my way into the porticles of glory. Somebody ought to reclaim your intentions today. Now, sometimes you got to go back. You got to revision and come back and just reconsider those things. You know, it's real easy. It's real easy. Turn to your neighbor and say, "It's real easy. It's real easy. It's real easy to have thoughts and plans and stuff." But if you don't stick with it, yeah, you soon divert, and the intentions and the plans and purposes, no matter how well stated, how well designed, how well purposed in our life, we soon forget it, because there's always little things coming along. There's always something. There's always something coming along. There's always this, that, and the other that's going to, and if you're not careful, this, that, and the other can mess you up. Have you ever dealt with this, that, and the other? Huh? Has anybody? You ever messed with this, that, and the other? I mean, this, that, and the other is just a bunch of stuff. It's all kinds of stuff. Do you have any this, that's, and others? Just all kinds of things. It's just life. It's the alarm clock. It's the clock at work that I got to punch. It's the demands. It's the house. It's the home. It's the car. It's the hospital insurance. It's this. It's that. And it's the other. And you can just put about all of life under this, that, and other. I mean, you can just get it all there. That just kind of summarizes everything. You don't need a multiplicity of columns. All you just need is this, that, and the other. And you can just put it all right down here. Mop, broom, and dust, and living room furniture. You can just put it all right there under this, that, and the other. And if you're not careful, this, that, and the other will interfere with your plans and your intentions and your purposes. And it will divert you off. And sometimes you got to come back and say, you know what? I need to get out from under this, that, and the other. I need to get out from underneath all this stuff that's distracting my attention, and I need to get my focus back on the fact that I can walk in victory, I can live in victory, I can rise above all this stuff, I can be everything God said I could be, I can attain to those highest goals and those loftiest things that I've reached for. I'm just not going to allow a bunch of junk. Somebody say it's a bunch of junk. I'm just not going to allow a bunch of junk to interfere with my intentions. If the devil's going to be intentional, I'm going to be intentional. So I'm going to be intentional with my prayer life. I'm going to be intentional with my fasting life. I'm going to be intentional with my Bible reading. I'm going to be intentional with my faithfulness. I'm going to be intentional with my giving. I'm going to be intentional with my worship. I'm going to be intentional with my devotion. I'm going to give it everything I got, because the devil is on my heels, but I'm going to lead him right into a red hot prayer meeting. Come on, somebody shout a little bit to the Lord right now. You said, Brother Borders, you don't get it. Go ahead, tell me you don't get it. Okay, I know it. I've been told that before. That's all right. I hear that quite often. You just don't get it. You just don't get it. You don't understand. Have you looked at the situation very carefully? Have you examined it? I mean, I'm bound between two soldiers, chained. I think Herod had some kind of ideas. He wanted to make sure it was as sure as he could make it. He had remembered the guards, or the priest had come to Pilate and said, "We better make that tomb just as sure as we can make it, because He prophesied he's going to rise again. And so they set soldiers outside, and I think Herod decided he wasn't going to make the same mistake. And he's got Peter chained between two soldiers. And he's got about 16 soldiers standing at the gate. And the gate's locked. He's made it as sure as he can make it. I mean, you got to look at the details of my problem, preacher. You got to see. I'm bound by two chains. I got a locked gate. I got 16 soldiers. I've been with them so long I know all their names. I know who's standing guard at my gate. This thing's locked up. It's bound up. There is no way out. There's no way through. You got to look at the detail of the story. Now, that's our problem. Some of us have been looking at the details for so long that we forgot that we can rest. Come on now. We forgot that we can rest in the promises of God. I always like this story. I like this story. Because Jesus had prophesied to Peter that you're going to die when you're old. He prophesied to him, said, you're going to die when you're old. And here's Peter, bound between two soldiers. It's got 16 at the gate, and it's locked. And Peter goes to sleep. Now, I have a tough time sleeping at night. Do I not? I mean, just all kinds of stuff keeps my brain turning. I mean to tell you, I'm not, God bless you. I know you're probably the deluxe model of God's creation. You got a switch, you just turn it off. I didn't get that switch. I don't know how to turn my brain off. It don't have one of them buttons on it. So it keeps me awake. And I'm up, I'm to the chair, I'm to the guest room, I'm to the playroom, not to play, but to pray. And I'm from one place to the next because my brain. I like the way Peter did it. He laid down and went to sleep. You know why he laid down and went to sleep? He said, I ain't old yet, so I can't die now. I know it's tough right now. I know I got two soldiers on both sides of me. There's 16 at the gate and the gate's locked. And I know Herod's intending tomorrow to take my head, but it can't happen because the Lord said I wasn't going to die till I got old. And I'm not old yet, so I just might as well lay down and go to sleep. Now, some of us have been looking at the details instead of looking at the promise. And I think we need to change our thought life and we need to start looking at the promise. This problem cannot prevail because I have a greater promise. Come on now. Come on, does anybody have a greater promise? Does anybody have a greater promise? Come on, does anybody have a greater promise than your problem right now? Does anybody have a greater provision from God than your difficulty? I got a greater promise than my problem. So I'm just going to rest on my promise instead of upset by my problems. Praise God. And so Peter just lays down and goes to sleep. That's where some of us need to get. Turn to your neighbor and say, you really need to hear this now. This is where some of us need to get. We got to get there. We got to get there. Tell your neighbor, you got to get there. You got to get there. In fact, you might even be so bold to tell him, if you don't get there, you're going to have a nervous breakdown. Huh? I mean, you got to get there. You got to get to a place somewhere where you can just lay down in the promises of God and say, I don't care what the devil is planning. I don't care what he's intending. I don't care what he's purposing. God's going to get me out of this. And he's going to see me through. There's some things you and I can do. Hear me now. There's some things you and I can do that can even out the odds of where we're at right now. I said there's some things you and I can do to even out the odds of where we are. We don't have to suffer under the odds of the problem that we're in at this particular moment. But we can counter all of this because Scripture tells us in Hebrews 12 and 5, Peter was kept in prison. That's the unvarnished truth. Peter was in prison. Didn't try to sugarcoat it. Didn't try to say that he was in the Hilton or the Hyatt or Marriott. He was in prison. That's the details. That's the raw reality. He was in prison. Somebody just might as well go ahead and say, that's where I'm at right now. That's where I'm at. That's the unvarnished details. That's it in a nutshell. I am in prison. But read the verse in verse number 5 when it says, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Yes, he was in prison, but prayer was made. And when prayer is made, prayer equalizes the odds and gives you the upper hand in the situation. Hear me, it's not time to neglect our prayers. It's not time to abandon our praying. It's not time to give up on our intercession, our petition, and our supplication before God. But it's time to say, you know what? I may be in a mess and I may be in a jam right now, but prayer can be made and prayer can turn the tide and bring us the victory that we need. Does anybody realize how powerful your praying is? Come on now. Does anybody remember how or can recognize how powerful your prayer is before the Lord? Does not Paul tell us in 2 Corinthians 10 and 4 that our weapons, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. There's something powerful, ladies and gentlemen, there's something powerful about just falling on your knees before God and praying. I'm telling you what, there's just something about that, just dropping and saying, God, here I am. Here's the mess. Here's the situation. I'm pouring it all out to you. And God, you are able to take care of this. There's something mighty about that. Don't you dare discount the prayers of God's people and the prayers that come off of faithful lips. Don't you dare discount that. Don't you dare come to a place that you think that it just won't get done and we ought to do something else. What we need to do is, Herod needs us all to sign a petition. He needs us to go down there with placards and march in front of his palace. That's what he needs us to do. He needs us to go down and stage a protest. He needs us to go down and just tell him, you know, I got rights. I got rights. You can't do this. This is not right. Oh, yeah, that's sometimes our options and our way of handling it. But the church said, you know what? There's something more powerful than a petition. There's something more powerful than a protest. I'll tell you what'll turn the tide. It's an old-fashioned praying. Somebody just getting on their knees and calling out upon God, saying, God, we need a miracle. We need some answers. We need some provisions. We need, dear God, you to intervene in this crisis. And when we involve God in the issue, God comes down and he takes care of the problem, because prayer is your most powerful weapon. I know. I like to read. I love to read. I got books everywhere. My wife tells me the office is a mess because they're double stacked on shelves. I got them at the house on the table. I got them by the bed. I got them in the closet. I got them everywhere. I like books. I like books. I like to read. But there are no answers that you'll find in a book that can do for you like the answer you can find in prayer. Now, I get it. I got it. Don't make me preach both sides of the coin to pacify your critical mind. I get it. I you know, we're real quick. We're real quick. Read this book. It'll help you. It'll help you. I got it. Don't make me preach both sides of the coin. I understand it. But oftentimes, we're more quick to offer a book than we are to offer prayer.
oftentimes we're more quick to try to go and offer some carnal solution to our spiritual problem instead of get on our knees and calling out before God. There is no more of a powerful position that you can get yourself in than when you get yourself in the prayer closet and just say, I know the details. I know the two soldiers on either side, and I know the gate's locked, and I know that there are soldiers standing there. There's all 16 of them. I counted them just this morning. But prayer can make a change in my situation. Come on, mama, don't give up on prayer. Come on, daddy, don't give up on prayer. Come on, young man, young lady, don't give up on prayer. In 2023, let's renew the fire of prayer like we've never renewed it before. Somebody ought to turn it up. We ought to have more red hot prayer meetings right now than we've ever had before. We ought to have more coming together and calling out upon God than we've ever had before. Our world's a mess. Israel is at war for the first time in 50 years this morning. Our world is a mess. Earthquakes are happening. This isn't time for us to go into seclusion. This is time for us to go into a closet of prayer and say, God, you're able. Somebody lift your voice. I need a prayer warrior right now to lift your voice. I need an intercessor in the house right now. I need somebody that knows how to touch the throne of God to lift your voice and say, oh God, prayer can change this. Prayer can change it. 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 I said prayer can change it. Come on, pray without ceasing. That's just determined prayer. That's prayer that don't let up. That's prayer that don't give up. That's prayer that don't back up. That's prayer that don't shut up. That's prayer that keeps on keeping on and keeps on keeping on. That's prayer that prays in the morning. Prayer that prays in the evening. Prayer that prays at noon. That's prayer that prays constantly. Oh God, we got to have it, because the only way that we're going to turn this thing around, the only way we're going to have a difference, is we got to have prayer. Prayer is the equalizer in this dark world that we're living in right now. It's the greatest weapon you and I have got. We've got to have some old-fashioned intercession and petition before God. I'm telling you, the throne of God is standing ready right now. I just believe the throne of God is standing at ready for apostolic revival in these few last days we got. I just believe that the throne of God is standing ready for miracles and healings and signs and wonders and outpourings. He's ready for us to access the glory of God, and the only way we're going to get it is prayer. Gotta lift my voice. I gotta lift my voice. Gotta lift my voice. Do it with me again. I felt something powerful move through this building a while ago. I felt something powerful. I felt something powerful move through this sanctuary just a little while ago. We're going to shake the kingdom of darkness. We're going to shake the gates of hell. We're going to shake those guards that stand watch over us. We're going to do it in prayer. Come on, daddy, pray some more. Come on, mama, pray some more. Come on, young man, young lady, pray some more. God can give us the answer. He can give us the provision. I gotta pray. I gotta pray. Don't give up on prayer. Don't give up on prayer. Don't give up on prayer. Come on, we gotta be like Elijah. We gotta be like Elijah in the middle of a famine. There's not been any rain. There's not been any outpour. There's no crops. There's no provisions. But the old prophet goes to the top of the mount. And when he gets on the top of the mount, he throws himself on the ground, puts his head between his knees, and he begins to pray. And he starts praying like he's never prayed before. He gets his servant and he says, come here. I want you to go out there. I want you to see if it's raining. You come back and tell me if it's raining or not. And he comes back, and while the servant's gone, he's on his knees and he's praying, God, send the rain. Send the rain. Send the rain. Send the rain. And he looks up and his servant's out there looking to see if it's going to rain. And his servant comes back and he says, no rain. No rain. Go back and look again. Go back and look again. And the old prophet gets down on his knees and he prays. And he prays again. And he prays again. And he prays again. And he waits for his servant to come back. Any rain? Any rain out there? No rain. Go back and look again. And he gets down and he prays. And he prays. And he prays. And he rises up to look for his servant that comes back in. Any rain out there? No rain out there. Go back and look again. And he gets down and he prays and he prays and he prays until finally that old servant comes back after 7 times and he said, I see just a little cloud. I see just a little cloud like a man's hand. I see there's just a little cloud. And the old prophet got up and he said, it's fixing to be a downpour. It's fixing to be a downpour. It's fixing to be a downpour because you pray. I said, you pray until the downpour comes. Somebody throw your hands in the air. Come on, somebody throw your hands in the air. Come on, somebody said, I've been once, I've been twice, I've been 3 times. Hallelujah. But I'm going to keep on praying. I need an intercessor to stand up with me right now on this left-hand side and throw your hands in the air and pray. I need a supplicator right here. I need a petitioner right over here. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. But prayer is made. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go on, Mama. Why don't you start that praying again? Come on, Daddy. Why don't you pray again? Come on now. Lift your voice. God's going to answer. God's going to come through. There's revival. There's healing. There's deliverance. There's provision. There's supply. It's going to happen. I said it's going to happen. I said it's going to happen. I said it's going to happen. Woo! Woo! Yeah. Yeah. That 23rd verse of that 12th chapter of the book of Acts, Herod, with all of his intentions, everything that he had designed, God let Peter out of prison because the church prayed. But Herod is eaten of worms and dies. Because you're Herod that's intended to stymie and stifle. You're Herod that's intended to keep you incarcerated in prison, that's keeping you from reaching. God says through prayer, I'll eat the old boy with worms and he'll die. But the Word of God will grow and multiply and there will be outpourings of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, our Herod, I said our Herod, can I prophesy a little bit now? Our Herod is fixing to be eaten of worms because the church is in prayer unto God. I said God's going to do a work right now in the name of the Lord. Oh, come on, somebody call on Him all across this building. Kayakakakatata. Kayakatatatata la 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 bahata. This is what I'd like for us to do on this Sunday morning. Because I believe the devil needs to see a show of force. I believe he needs to see some determination in this house. I believe he needs to see some gumption, tenacity out of us. If you are recommitting yourself, rejoining yourself to changing the environment, whatever it might be, this, that, and the other, you're going to commit yourself to that. You're pressing in right now. I want you just to leave where you're at down that aisle. And I want you to make your way to this front. I want you to throw your hands in the air. And I believe we need to have an old-fashioned prayer meeting right here around this front. Something is about to break in the Holy Ghost. Something is about to break right now in the Holy Ghost. Something is about to break in the Holy Ghost. Come on, Apostolic Worship Center. Something is about to break right now. Something is about to break. There you go. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church. There it is now. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church. There you go. There you go. We know the details. We know the details. We know how bad it is. But what we need to do right now is just serve notice on hell that I'll pray again. I'll pray again. I'll call out again. There you go. Come on, you can change your home. You can change your family. You can change your job. You can change your finances. You can change your health. In the name of Jesus. There you go now. There you go. Prayer is made. Prayer is made. Prayer is made. All over the building, there's a prayer meeting going up across this place right now. Prayer that is unceasing. Prayer that is filled with tenacity. Prayer that is filled with a divine force. Prayer that is filled with determination here today. That's it, Mama. Go ahead and lift your voice. Go ahead, Daddy. Lift your voice. That's it. Call out. Call out. Cry out. Let the spirit of Elijah fall on you right now. Pray. If it has to be 7 times, pray. Pray. Pray again. Pray again. And pray again. And pray again, and pray again, because God is waiting to open the doors. He's waiting to unlock the prisons. He's waiting to release. He's waiting to change the issues and the problems and the difficulties. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I challenge you, Mama, just start praying. Just start praying. Pray till you break through. Pray till you break through. Pray till you break through, Daddy. Pray until there's rays of light that come slicing through your problem. Pray until you feel something begins to course down your back from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. There's answers. There's provision. There's supply in the name of the Lord. That's it, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There's no prison that cannot be broken. There's no walls that cannot come down. Hallelujah. There's no darkness that cannot be penetrated. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I believe you, Lord. I believe you, Lord. That's it. I'm hearing the prayers of prayer warriors across this building right now. I'm hearing the prayers of intercessors rising up across this congregation.
You have been listening to an audio sermon from Apostolic Worship Center located in Norman, Oklahoma. We are located at 3221 North Porter Avenue, Norman, Oklahoma, 73071. Our service times are Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., and we also have various ministries happening on Wednesday night. For more information, visit our website, www.awcnorman.com. You can call us at 405-329-1285 or email us at info@awcnorman.com. We hope that this recording has been a blessing to you.